Let me invite you now back to a portion of Scripture that I've read before. In fact, I never tire of reading it. It is it's a category buster, and by that I mean this. When I read this, if you were to shut your eyes and listen to just what is said, I bet you'd be thinking, well, you know, that must come from the Gospel of John, or maybe Luke, maybe. Yeah. But it doesn't. It comes from the prophecy of Isaiah. People have this notion that, you know, the Gospel is found in the New Testament and the Law is found in the Old. It's just not so. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find Christ on every page of the Old Testament. And if you listen to this as I read it, you'll see what I mean. This is a statement of four verses that is so gospel-esque. So let me read it to you. It's Isaiah chapter 25, four verses, beginning at verse 6. And they read like this. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of our God, this word, this inscripturated word, this endures forever. Guys, I'm sure you don't remember this. I don't expect you to, but I have used this same passage, these same four verses, for four straight communion services. Actually, that's not true. Not straight. In January, you know, we had that thing about missions giving, and we had the sacraments then. But I used this text in September. I used it in November. I used it, September, October, November. And then now in February, we talked about the God of wine in September. We talked about the feast in October. We talked about the location in November. And this morning, I want to draw your attention back to this text to two things that are contained here. First of all, the host, and second of all, his guests. And both of those features are mentioned in verse 6, the first verse of my text. So, notice, the text says, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts. Guys, I've told you this on numerous occasions, but let me mention it again. Whenever you find this word Lord, if you see it in verse 6, when you find it in the Old Testament where it is all caps, not capitalized, but when you have four caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, when you find it like that, that is the English rendering of the Hebrew tetragrammaton. That's a word you can impress your friends with. The tetragrammaton. In Judaism, the tetragrammaton refers to the four-letter name of God that nobody could pronounce and nobody wanted to write. It was too sacred to write. So when the scribes were transcribing the scriptures, they would get up and they would take a bath before they wrote it. And then after finishing their bath, they would write it. And then if it appeared again, they'd have to go take another bath because the word was so sacred to them. It's the word, if you insert a couple of vowels in there, it's the word that we use, Yahweh or Jehovah. The host of this feast, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Yahweh. And notice, as far as this feast that he is hosting, there's not a single dish that is brought by any of the guests. The text says in verse 6, on this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast. That is, this is not a potluck. This is not a covered dish dinner. This is not some Super Bowl party where everybody brings their own contribution. Nope, folks, you don't bring anything to this one because there's a host, and though you may like to add to what he did, you know, so that you can be proud of contribution, you're not supposed to bring anything to this feast. He asks you not to bring a thing. And not only that, ladies and gentlemen, you're not even allowed at this feast to wear your own clothes. I mean, you know, to put on your finest duds or go out and buy an outfit so that you can look cute. In fact, this is a little item that is picked up in Matthew 22. But when you come to this feast, you have to stop at the door and pick up a garment that he himself supplies. Because all those things that you wear, all those things that you selected, just ill-equip you to come to this feast. And so you have to pick up a garment. And if you don't wear that garment that he supplies, the host, then you're forcibly removed from the feast. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a feast that is hosted by Yahweh and Yahweh alone. And you are asked to bring nothing. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to improve upon it. Don't try to contribute. It's a feast hosted by Yahweh alone. Now, notice also what the text says about his guests. This is so interesting, at least to me. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples. It doesn't say all people. It says all peoples. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, the point is, particularly being read by a Jewish audience, that all peoples are included in this work, this feast that God is going to offer. There's going to be Jews, there's going to be Gentiles, there's going to be some Russians, there's going to be some Germans and some Chinese and some Mexicans and some Americans and maybe even some Memphians at this feast. Out of all these peoples, there are some who are his people, which is mentioned in verse 8. Guys, at this feast, there's going to be some smart people, and there's going to be some people who are not so smart. And there's going to be some rich people, and there's going to be some people who are not very wealthy. You're going to have some educated people, and you're going to have some fourth grade dropouts. And you're going to have some Democrats, and maybe even a few Republicans. You're going to have some skinny people and some fat people. You're going to have some black people and some white people and some brown people and some yellow people. Because you see, there's going to be even some tall people and some short people. Because out of every people group, there are going to be some. They're going to be his guests. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, some of them are a part of his people. So when it comes to this feast, your race, your nationality, your political affiliation, your financial status, your intelligence quotient, none of that matters. Because out of every people group, out of all the peoples, says the text, some are going to be his guests at this feast that he himself throws. The New Testament says it like this: anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Here's the point, guys. If you are coming, if you are wanting to be a part of that feast, That's just a demonstration that you are one of His. Because wanting to be a part of this feast is an evidence that He has drawn you, that He is drawing you. The door will never be slammed shut in your face. All who come to me, says Jesus, will in no wise be cast out. If you want Jesus Christ, you can have Him. If you want to be admitted to this feast, you can be admitted. But, oh, my dear friend, don't bring anything with you. Don't try to improve upon it. Don't point to something that you are or that you've done. Don't wear the clothes that are described as filthy rags in the Old Testament. No, pick up that festal garment, that wedding garment that He alone provides. So my friend, this feast, the one that's being symbolized in this sacrament, the host awaits you. Come. Don't bring anything. Just feast on that which He has provided for you. Symbolized in the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Come feast on that. Let's pray. Our Father, would You remind us that the gospel is not believe and do anything. It's not believe and be circumcised or believe and be baptized. It's not believe and be anythinged. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. As we come to this table to be reminded of the great work of Christ on our behalf, would You also show us what foolishness it is to trust anything other than what You have provided for us. You, O God, are the gracious host of the feast that is set upon this table. We come to feast on Christ and Him crucified. Meet us here, O God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.